This is Nurse Geezer News for the week of November 26th, 2018, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Abe Singer. Abe is my first three-peat guest. Abe, welcome to the show again.
Thanks, and boy, this is like the biggest honor I've had today.
Wow, that is huge praise. All right, so Abe, of course, we're talking about MFA, and I hope to have you on here another time when we're not talking about MFA, but it's such an important topic because MFA is coming.
It is, whether you like it or not. Okay, so here's what you should know. As we've said, currently MFA is voluntary or optional, but we're going to start requiring it with the new allocation year. So what's going to happen is on January 8th, if you haven't already enabled MFA, we are basically going to enable MFA for you. At that point, what that means is if you haven't already set up MFA, you won't be able to log on to anything but NIM. You'll have to create tokens for yourself. And the way that works is if you have MFA enabled, but you haven't created any tokens in NIM, NIM will still allow you to log in with just a password so that you can then set up your tokens.
But you won't be able to log into like Cori or...
That's correct, because those will actually require you to provide a one-time password when you log in.
Okay, okay. So are we doing anything to help users leading up?
Yeah, leading up to this, we're going to hold what we call MFA office hours on a few particular days, where kind of like the consultants have office hours where we will be standing by with an open Zoom channel for the day for anyone that needs help getting MFA up and running. We haven't scheduled all of them yet, although we expect that we will certainly do one on January 7th, and we'll do a few more before that. Stay tuned for it. We'll announce the dates once we get them scheduled.
Okay, great. So, Abe, there have been some new developments in MFA since we last talked. Is that right?
Yes, we have a few features we had been working on that we managed to get rolled out. One of them that is backup passwords. So in addition to the token that you configure on your Google Authenticator device, you can get some backup passwords for if you forget your device at home for the day. These are a set of one-time passwords that you can just print out or store in a file on your computer in a safe location, where you can just use each one of these passwords once and use them more. So you get a set of five of them, and if you need to use them, you use the first one on the list and then scratch it out, and the next time you need a backup password, you can use the next one on the list. These work independently of your regular MFA device, so there's no interaction between them. You don't have to worry about using one of those versus and then using your regular Google Authenticator one-time password.
Okay.
We also have enabled something we call a token reset. So this is for if you've lost your device and you need to start over with a new device and configure new tokens. There's a link on the NIM login page that says lost your token. This works basically like when you've forgotten your password. You follow the link and you enter your username, and it will send you email to the email address you have on file with a link that you can follow, which will tell NIM to delete all of the tokens you've configured. It'll also ask for your password to make sure it's you, because we assume you haven't forgotten your password, you've just lost your tokens. Then once you've done that, just like I said before, when you started with NIM with MFA enabled and no tokens, you can log into NIM with just your password and configure a new token for yourself.
Okay, that's good. Now we have MFA authentication just about everywhere.
Yeah, on almost everything that users use. There may be a couple of corner cases that we haven't addressed where it is not supported, but we have it supported on most of the science portals, and anything we have that uses Shibboleth, for instance, help.nurse.gov, plus all of the machines users SSH into.
Okay, so have we had good uptake so far?
Yeah, we actually have 600 nurse users have already signed up for MFA and got it working, and we've had very few people contact us with trouble. It's actually been working quite well. We even had 100 users sign up in one day, and we got a couple of tickets with questions, but nobody said they couldn't get it working.
Yeah, well, like I said before, it's so easy that even a manager can do it. Because I was able to do it without even reading the instructions.
Yeah, it's easy, and it takes about 5 minutes to do. Also, and we do have some, we think, pretty good instructions, but it doesn't take long. All you have to do is you have to install this app on your phone, which takes a couple of minutes to download and install, and then it takes like a minute to set up your token. Then the SSH proxy service we have, there is a client bash script that you can copy off of Cori. We have instructions on our help page for how to do that. And with a client, you run the script. It'll prompt you for your password and OTP, and leave you with an SSH key that's good for 24 hours. So you don't have to use your OTP every time you log in. You'll just have to use it that one time. So that's working very well for users. And the SSH key you get works just like any other SSH key. You can use it with SSH, you can use it with SCP. The only difference is it stops working after 24 hours. But to the services you use, it looks like basically like any other SSH key.
Yeah, it's great. I do that every morning, and then I'm able to just work all day with my SSH key. It's great. So, Abe, do you have a recommendation for a strategy that users should employ for MFA?
Well, it's basically simple, and it's kind of implied what I've talked about already, but basically is configure your token and get your backup passwords at the same time and put them someplace where you can remember and print them out and put them in your wallet, or like I said, store them in a file in a reasonably safe and hidden location on your computer. So that way, if you forget your phone one day or lose it, you have something you can use to keep working. I should also add, with the backup passwords, you get 5 of them, but once you've used up that 5, you can go into NIM and get a set of another 5 of them. We haven't put any limits on it. We just thought it'd be easier not to have to deal with too many of them at a time. Plus, their purpose really is as a backup if you lost your main device. And then, like I said, if you actually lose your device or get it replaced, we know people turn in their phones every couple of years, and often you have to turn in your phone before you get the new phone. If you're in one of those situations, just use the password reset function. It works quickly. You just have to, however long it takes you to get the email, and you'll be in and be able to configure a new token in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, great. So, Abe, I've got some questions for you that are common questions, but I'll start with one that I had been wondering about. You know, I mentioned that every morning I create one of those SSH proxy keys. So let's say that this morning I created it at 7 o'clock or something, but then tomorrow morning I got in a little early, and so it's 6:55. So that one is still good. But if I start a new session at that point, 5 minutes before that key expires, do I have only 5 minutes for that session?
No. Once you have logged into something, SSH only uses your SSH key to do the login. After that, it's got an established session and it never looks at the key again. So the only thing that pays attention to your key expiring is the point where you actually are authenticating. So no, in that case, you'd be logged in, you'd be fine. Now, if you log out and then try and log back in later in the day, you won't be able to log in and you'll have to generate a new SSH proxy key.
Okay, all right, that's good to know. So Abe, I use SSH agent, so how do I use SSH proxy keys with that agent?
Well, first of all, usually you actually don't need to. We use SSH agent when we have a passphrase on an SSH key so that we don't have to type the passphrase every time we use the key. But the SSH proxy keys actually don't have a passphrase. So SSH can use them directly without having to prompt you for a password at all. So it doesn't actually need to use SSH agent. But there are some rare circumstances where people do need to put their SSH proxy key in SSH agent because they need to use agent forwarding. So for those cases, we've added an option to SSH proxy to tell it to load the key automatically. It's the dash A option. If you do need to put your keys in SSH agent, I strongly recommend you use that option instead of manually loading them in, because we found that SSH agent doesn't automatically throw away SSH keys that have expired. It keeps them and it keeps using them. And what can happen is after you get a number of expired keys stored in SSH agent, you start getting login failures because it keeps trying the keys and they fail and you get disconnected for having too many authentication failures. What the SSH proxy client does is it calculates the lifetime of the key based on its expiration, and it passes that as an argument to SSH agent saying this key will expire in this many seconds. And that will cause SSH agent to throw away the key when it's done, but you have to explicitly tell the agent to do that.
Okay, that's good to know. So next question, I'm lost on a desert island with my cell phone and my laptop, and I can connect to the internet on my laptop. And what I want to do instead of calling for help is connect to NERSC, because nobody's disturbing me because I'm on this desert island and there's no grad students and there's no children, and it's a perfect place for me to do my work. But I don't have any cell phone service, so will Google Authenticator work if I don't have cell phone service?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, if that's the first thing you want to do on a desert island, you're a true scientist. But that being said, yes. So Google Authenticator doesn't require any connectivity to work once you've configured it with the token. All it uses is the clock on your phone. It uses the current time to calculate the one-time password. So all it requires is that the clock on your phone be pretty close to the clock on our server here. Time zones don't matter here, it uses epoch time, but the clocks need to be pretty much in sync. There's a little bit of margin for error, but pretty much in sync, but it doesn't require any connectivity at the time that you use it.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. What if I work in a really secure area where I can't bring a cell phone or a tablet? So what are my options there?
Well, a couple things. We're working on supporting hardware tokens that you can buy that are pre-configured. So you can buy ones that already have a token stored on them, and then we would actually have to get the configuration information for that token from you and store it on our server here. So we're working on what we need to do to support that. And then you can just buy something and it'll kind of work right out of the box. However, some security facilities won't allow you to bring in any electronics. So if you're in that case and you're using a computer where you can't install any software, about the only option we have for you is that you use your backup passwords. But you at least do have that option.
Okay. So another question. How come I have to log in separately to SSH and websites? Why can't I just log in once for both?
Well, it actually turns out to be technically rather difficult. It's hard to do anything that works across both the command line and a web browser. Part of that is due to what they call sandboxing in web browsers, which is a security feature to protect you from getting your computer compromised by going to a malicious website, basically by keeping the website from being able to write anything automatically to your computer. But separately, you may notice that you may log into one website using MFA and then go to another one and have to use MFA again. And the reason for that is for some technical and some historical reasons, we have some different backends for authentication. Some of our sites use Shibboleth, in which case you'll be able to log on once and then get to any other Shibboleth site without having to authenticate again. Some of our other sites use Newt, and it's the same thing. Within the sites that use Newt, you can authenticate once, but we don't have anything yet that bridges between the Newt sites and the Shibboleth site. And then we have a couple of sites like NIM that actually operate independently, also for some kind of technical and practical reasons. And you have to log into those directly with your credentials, regardless of what else you've logged into.
Okay. So what about accessing HPSS? How do we use MFA on HPSS? Yeah.
So it turns out you don't need to actually do anything additional or different to use HPSS. If you want to get an HPSS token, you have to first log on to something at NERSC that is going to require MFA. So since you have to use MFA to get to that point, there's no reason to have to use MFA again just to get an HPSS token. So it basically, it just comes for free.
Oh, okay. So, Abe, I have some workflows that last more than 24 hours. So what can I do? I don't want to have to get up in the middle of the night and make another certificate or whatever.
None of us want to have to get up in the middle of the night. At least most of us don't want to have to. But I've been told that's what grad students are for. However, if you don't want to make your grad students do that, the SSH proxy supports issuing keys that are longer than 24 hours, and we have a process for authorizing you to get tokens that last longer. In order to do so, there's a form you fill out where you have to tell us why you need keys that last longer than 24 hours.
It has to be a better answer than because I'm lazy or
yeah.
Because I feel like it.
That's right. Okay. But if you have a valid reason, that's fine. And we can do them for a week or a month, for example. That's a standard thing. And the way it actually works is we create what's called a scope. A scope is, from your perspective, is just a name that you, an argument you supplied SSH proxy. And then when you provide that scope and you're authorized to use that scope, you get a key that's valid for that scope. So we can create a week scope or a month scope, and we can do some additional restrictions like where you can log in from with that key and where you can go to and a couple of things like that.
Okay, so I can't say that I'm going to do this particular workflow and then just use my longer key to upload cat videos to HPSS.
It's going to depend a little bit. It depends what you're allowed to access with the key. But part of the authorization request, we ask you specify what you're using the key for.
Okay.
And I should also add, if you do want to request longer-term keys, see the section on the MFA help page about, there's a section called Long-Term SSH Keys. It has a link to the form that you fill out to make the request.
Okay, perfect. So, what about support for PuTTY?
Yeah, we're working on that. Turns out that it's a little harder to have a script that gets keys into SSH keys into PuTTY than it does for a command line tool like in Linux. But we have a plan and we hope to have it really soon now.
Oh, okay, great. All right, Abe, so is there any other things that you want NERSC users to know about MFA or have we covered everything?
I think we have covered everything. The main thing I'll stress again is I strongly recommend you start using MFA soon. Get it configured. Until January 8th, you can turn on MFA and configure it, test it out, and then just turn it back off in NIM and turn it on and off as much as you like so that you can test it and get used to it. But if you have a reason that you need to stop using it, you can turn it back off. But after January, you will not be able to disable MFA unless you ask for an exception. You'll have to go through an approval process and give us a good reason, and it won't be easy.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Abe, for joining me today.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.